seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah and the 45th chapter and the 2nd and 3rd verses. The 45th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah and the 2nd and 3rd verses. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. The Lord is speaking here, as we said when we preached from this text last Wednesday, of Cyrus. But you know, there is much gospel teaching lying here, and this word has abode with us over the week and still abides with us. And our mind was led to the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. That blessed gospel message which John brought as he heralded the coming of Jesus here below, he spoke of the mighty work of Christ in this world, and the activity of God in the finished work of his dear Son in conforming his dear people to his image. And we have such a parallel here that we do not need to comment. The crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. And our mind was led to that 107th Psalm and the identical words that are used there, the bars of iron, those solemn bars of iron that bind the fallen, and how the Lord would break their bands in sunder, and those that are bound in affliction and iron. And we read he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. And it is the same blessed word here. And we would like to look tonight a little at the blessed work of God that is spoken of here. Our mind has rested upon this word, and we spoke last Wednesday from the divine purposes of God in his everlasting covenant, the incarnation of Christ, how he went before his dear people in this earth, and the path that he walked. But we'd like to speak tonight somewhat of the nature of the work of God personally in going before his dear people in their peculiar path, individually, going ahead of them, and as it were, preparing the way, speaking in their hearts precious promises, which is what this word is. We have our ordered steps. The steps of God's dear people are ordered. They have a cup. It is put into their hands. The contents are not known. They are hidden, and yet they are to be drunk. There is a path which they are going to walk in. That 100 speaks very blessedly of it. They are taught and brought to be wilderness wanderers. Then the Lord will lead them forth by his right hand in those ordained steps. In that cup there is a mixture. They will drink it. It will be those things which are bitter, and there are those things which are sweet. They're gloriously by God mingled together. Hymn writer speaks of it so sweetly. Regarding the sorrows of the child of God, there's something secret. Sweetens all. And so it is. It lies in this beautiful word, God in promise, speaking remarkably to his poor fallen dust, whom he has loved and for whom he came into this world to die. He says regarding the steps of the flock that he's gone before them. Gone before them. I will go before thee. And he died. He gives to his dear church sacred promises applied with heavenly power in their hearts. And those promises are to be used. They're to be rested upon. Dear old Jacob, when he came to the end of his days to bless Ephraim and Manasseh, he leant upon his staff. And oh, the sacred nature of that staff. It was his God who had gone before him all his life. And as he looked back over life's journey, he could see in all his fallen condition, all the ruins of his fallen nature, sovereign grace, everlasting loving kindness had attended his footsteps. And the Lord had, in going before him, enabled him to stand. He'd gone before him and prepared the way, watched over him and kept him. The way was full of sorrows. There were times when he couldn't see that his God had gone before him. He couldn't see in the bitter cup of the loss of Joseph that his God was going before him. He passed very wrong judgments. All these things are against me. When Benjamin was touched, his heart bled. And yet, when the wagons came, and he knew that Joseph was yet alive, he had that blessed sight that his God had gone before him, and that he had prepared the barns of Egypt for his sustenance. And all he could say was, it's enough. And you know, dear Joseph, what a sight we have that dear man of God, and how he couldn't comprehend the path he walked out. And it was a long path, a bitter path, a path which he couldn't see the beauty of these words. I thought in the vestry here tonight, that word in the Psalms, until the word of the Lord came, that is, openly in sight in its fulfilment, the word of the Lord tried him. Oh, it lay in his heart as the great trial of his faith. I wonder what you are carrying tonight that the Lord has laid in your heart that has not yet come out into the fullness of it, that you can see the fulfilment of it. You are waiting. Joseph waited until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. It lay with weight upon his heart that he had such a sight that his brethren would bow down before him. It was the divine revelation of his God in his soul written there. And the Lord's words were sacredly true. I'll go before thee. And here lay these crooked things. And only God can make the crooked straight. It is a divine work. And he can. And he did. In these dear men's lives, there was so much they couldn't understand, so much unbelief. Joseph's feet were in iron. Why, how he attempted to get the butler to remember him, but he couldn't remember him. The hand of God was in it. I'll go before thee. The mystery of God going before his dear people. Why, through darksome paths, says the dear hymn writer, we go, we may know no reason yet. Beautiful word. Yet we shall hereafter know, each in his due season. And the Lord goes before his people in most solemn ways. So definitely he does it. In the macabre is that solemn mixture. There is a bitterness, and yet he's in it. He's in it. He's there. He's in control. There is no chance with him. And out of it, he will bring that which is to his honour and to his glory and to the profit of the souls of his dear people. His ways are past finding out. I've long looked at dear Cooper's hymn when he wrote God Moves. There's so much truth in that. God moves. He does. We cannot trace him. In a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He moved in the life of his dear servant Paul and gave him such a solemn thorn in the flesh. And he moved to his honour and glory. He did indeed. And he laid affliction on his loins. The dear man of God could not see. It was the Lord going before him, but it was to bring forth from his heart that sacred submission to his will, to teach him in his soul to take up his cross and to follow his Redeemer and to bow under his weakness and to know the presence of his God in a way of faith which he could never have known without that cup. To come to that blessed place of divine sanctification most glory, most gladly. Therefore will I glory in mine infirmity. The power of Christ might rest upon me. When I'm weak, all the teaching, the heavenly teaching, when I'm weak, the apostle was in the hands of his God. He'd gone before him. In his sovereign will, in his footsteps, in his life. And he brought him in the miracle of it to acquiesce wholeheartedly with the cross which the Lord had laid upon him. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, may be found unto honour and glory and praise at the appearing of Jesus Christ. All have he, the Lord, will sovereignly bring his dear people as he goes before them to have precious fellowship with him in his suffering. And we would notice this: I will go before thee. It is the will of God for the good of his dear church that he leads them in such paths to teach them. And the bitterness of the pit into which Joseph was thrown, and the crushing sense of grief as he endured the hatred of his brethren and was sold as a slave into Egypt, and the bitter path he walked, and the grace of God that was manifest in him when he stood against Potiphar's wife and went to prison for him, and when he attempted to put his hand to his release, and we read of those 2 full years. Oh, how long they were. They, as it were, lingered in his sorrows and sufferings. Their end was so distant. And he waited and watched, and the Lord had gone before him. Wasn't absent from him. I'll go before thee. And here he endured the crooked. Oh, how crooked the way was. And yet, there was to be an end. The work of sanctification was to be accomplished. He was to be brought to that blessed place where he saw his brethren bow down before him. And he had a sight of his God and the going before him. The word that the Lord had so divinely spoken in his heart was brought to a precious fulfillment before his very eyes, and it broke him. Went out and wept. Broke him. The goodness of his God flooded into his heart. He saw it. Then he saw the beauty of this truth. I'll go before thee. God moves. Dear Cooper, after he penned those words, within a very short while, went into 10 years of affliction, darkness, mourning the absence of his God. Yet, how precious was the truth that he penned in the blessing it has been made to his dear people, the clouds. Ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. When the Lord speaks such a promise, into the hearts of his dear people. They may well have to wait, as Joseph did, many years to see its fulfillment. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. But oh, how blessed, every valley shall be exalted. You have a valley in your life today. And every hill shall be made low. Crooked, there it is. The crook in your lot, which God has placed, there shall be made straight. And the rough place is plain, and the glory of the Lord, you'll see there. Dear Joseph, as he leant on his staff, and he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, had a sight in his dying hours of the glory of the Lord revealed to him. And he spoke so blessedly regarding the lads. The Lord that fed me all my life long and so on. And this, the Lord that redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Dear man, in the feebleness of age and infirmity, he had such a sight of those words he'd given utterance to when he said, "It's enough." He could see the good hand of his God that had attended his footsteps all his days, and the precious fulfillment of the promise which God had given him at Bethel, and which he had so had clouds come over him. "I'll be with thee." In the midst of his rebellion and sin, oh, how the Lord had to deal with him. What a path he had to walk. "And yet, I'll be with thee in all places, whithersoever thou goest." He had a precious Bethel, never to be forgotten. And when he came to the end of his days, he could look back and he could see the beauty of the truth. "I'll go before thee." The word of God tried and fulfilled in his life. The promise pleaded and the promise fulfilled in all its strength as the word of God to him. "I'll go before thee." And he could see how the Lord had made the crooked places straight. And as we read in the words that were spoken regarding John the Baptist and Christ, the rough places plain. There was an end. There was a fulfillment. There was a glorying and a bowing down before the Lord. There was true worship in the heart of Joseph when he went out and wept. He had such a sight of the glory of the Lord. And so did his dear father when he said, "The Lord that redeemed me." He could speak of the things that he had tasted of the good word of life. He could look back to Jabbok, where his God had heard his prayer and where he had blessed him and anointed him. He had ever carried the mark of it in his thigh as he halted. Yet the sacred savour of the presence and anointing of his God was nothing. His weakness was nothing to be compared to the precious nature of the blessing which had come at the time that that thorn in the flesh had been given to him. "I'll go before thee and make the crooked places straight." And we would notice in our text here tonight, the Lord speaking, "I'll go. I'll make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures and the hidden riches. And then this, what was the purpose of it? That thou mayest know. Oh, that heavenly knowledge given by God in the solemn paths that are spoken of here, in the paths of suffering and sorrow and temptation and weakness and infirmity and the cross, thou mayest know. Oh, God's dear church, have such a precious knowledge, but it is acquired in most solemn paths of suffering, paths of temptation, paths which feel as though they are in prison, shut up and cannot come forth. There is in the dealings of his dear church with their Redeemer, there is a solemn path to be walked in. It is a God-ordained path. We see it in God's dear people in the scriptures. Oh, how they walked through such bitter sorrows, bitter cups were in their hands, and yet out of it, as we see with Jacob, that thou mayest know. He could speak of a divine knowledge of his God that he had acquired, his faithfulness, his mercy, his compassion, ever present help in time of need. He would never have, could never have known him in any other way except in the path which the Lord had ordered for him, and he'd gone before him. Why? That thou mayest know. There was to be a precious knowledge of his God, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which do what? Call thee. Oh, the activity, the work of God in the hearts of his dear people. It is to give them a precious knowledge. It is the very foundation of their hope. Thou mayest know. And the God of Israel, the God of the whole Israel of God, their God, his dear church is to know him as she walks here below. His everlasting arms underneath are to be feelingly known. She has to come forth out of tribulation with this precious knowledge that there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency upon the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. She has a terrible foe. She has indeed a vile enemy that would mock her and torment her. She listens to him. But oh, how her God watches over her. He will not leave her nor forsake her. He will move and work in her heart the furnace to soften, to mellow, to melt, to subdue, to bring into precious submission at his mercy seat. It is the Lord, said dear Eli, let him do what seemeth him good. And what had the Lord done? Oh, most solemn. It is the Lord. The fire did its work. And we see it in the lives of the Lord's dear church. There is so much solemn work that lies in the Lord's purpose to conform his dear people to the image of his dear Son, They have to do what the apostle did, learn well the truth. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. They have to be emptied from vessel to vessel. Their strength has to be taken away. They have to pass through bitter furnaces and trials. And in them, they learn the blessed nature of the work of their God. I'll go before thee. They can speak of it. They can see in looking back how their God did go before them, how in the heat of their afflictions he spoke a word in their heart and strengthened them to stand. They can see how he did make the crooked places straight and the rough places plain, how he did go before them and do it on their behalf. They could never have done it. How could dear Joseph have made his path straight? He couldn't, for God did. In a moment. And what did he do? Why, he remarkably raised him out of his prison. He did indeed. There was haste, solemn haste, when those 2 full years were over. And the Lord's purposes were accomplished. The clouds, ye so much dread. The Lord's people do dread the pathway. But oh, how they live to see their mercy, big with mercy. And what do? They break in blessings on their head. Oh, when his dear church is brought to look back over the way, there is so much in that word, thou shalt remember. It is the goodness of the Lord in looking back to see his dear hand. Jacob remembered as he leant upon his staff in his dying hour the good hand of his God, which he hadn't seen in the heat of the furnace. But when the Lord brought him to look back and to remember, oh, how he could trace. Can you tonight? Perhaps you can't. Perhaps you're in the heat of it and the thick of it. In my own pathway now, there is a looking back. And there is a sight of the sweetness of that word, the cloud ye so much dread, a big with mercy. And there has been a sight of it, and the breaking of them, as they broke with Jacob and Joseph. They broke in a sweet way as they met, and they had such a sight, and Jacob had such a sight that Joseph had been sent of God before them to be their saviour. And Joseph is such a blessed type of Christ, saviour of his dear church. Oh, how the Lord Jesus has gone before his dear church. Beautiful words, it is finished. It is, the work is done. And oh, how the Lord brings it to pass in each generation, his finished work. And we cannot comprehend in looking back, each heart knoweth its own bitterness and the strange, and how true this is, intermeddleth not therewith. They don't. That cup is yours, not mine. Mine is mine, not yours. And we drink it and we know it. But oh, what a blessed mercy if it in the hands of our God is the means of us entering in to this sacred truth, to have a sight of him breaking in pieces those gates of brass, cutting those solemn bars of iron, and giving us what is spoken of here as the treasures of darkness, hidden these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent. They are the treasures of darkness are revealed to babes. They are indeed. There is such a divine teaching in it. And there is such a beauty in it here. It is all of God. I will go. I will break. I will give. This is his work, that thou mayest know. It is to know the God of Israel as our God. And one day, when the work of grace is accomplished, to worship him in heaven and to have something to worship him for. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Why, how the cup that he puts into our hands is the very means of bringing us to a sight of our own heart. That lovely hymn made so precious to me many years ago, "Endless Blessings on the Lamb, Broken Hearts Repeat the Same." His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. Your dread crimes once pierced his heart, sank his soul in fearful smart, but his sin atoning blood now procures your peace with God. His dear church in the heat of the furnace cannot comprehend, cannot understand, full of doubts and fears, deep, terrible fears, shaken as a reed in the wind. We see it in his dear people. Dear John the Baptist, trace his footsteps, trace the solemnity of it. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, what a sight he had of. What happened? Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? That was his dying hour. Oh, the glorious revelation of God, the arms of love and mercy around a poor, weak, fallen man. Yet Jesus said there was none greater than John the Baptist. But look at him. And the mercy of Christ as he dealt with him in his temptation and in his darkness and in his fear of death and in his deep waters, yet never to leave him. Oh, the teaching that lies here, go before thee. He did. And make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron, solemn bars of temptation and suffering. We see it in all his dear saints. The Lord does it. Who can do it except him? But he does it. And I'll give thee precious treasure, the hidden treasures of darkness, the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Yes. Not to be known by any except his living family. The hidden riches of secret places. They're in the heart of his dear people, kept there in secret. What he has spoken, what he has done, what he has said in their souls, they're theirs. And the Lord has given it to them. It's their special treasure, never to be taken away. Never, never. It's given for eternity, never to be taken from them. But it's precious, very precious, the work of God in the souls of his dear church. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And that beautiful word, my glory, will I not give to another? No, he won't. Oh, may you be enabled to go forth, as we read in the book of the Song of Solomon. Why should I be as one that turneth aside by thine handmaidens? If thou knowest not, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. Precious path, the footsteps of the flock. What I have preached tonight has been the footsteps of the flock in all generations. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. It is a path of the Lord's dealings, called out to follow him in a path in which they walk solemnly ordained footsteps, and in which they are brought into the possession of a most precious knowledge, that thou mayest know. Dear Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. Oh, but that doesn't reveal the solemn path he was called to walk in to come to that place. The stoning at Antioch, and all that he reveals in his letter to the church at Corinth, for what he suffered for Christ's sake. And in it, he came to what he says in his journey to Rome. There stood beside me this night. Oh, how he knew his God. And he knew him to a dying hour. And he came in the sweet enjoyment of it to say, it's laid up for me. It's the path of the flock, a crown of righteousness. Amen.